I'm Brennan Marcello, Auburn beat reporter for AL.com, and you're listening to the AU Wishbone.
A miracle in turned hair! A miracle in turned hair!
And according to my sources, it's an almost credible sports discussion.
They're not going to keep them off the field tonight!
On the War Eagle Sports Radio Network.
It's the Wishbone Podcast, your source for Auburn football discussion and commentary. Now, here are your hosts, Van Allen Plexico and John Ringer.
Hello and welcome to the AU Wishbone, brought to you by White Rocket Entertainment in association with the WarEagleReader.com and the War Eagle Sports Radio Network. I'm Van Allen Plexico, and I'm joined as always by my co-host.
I'm John Ringer.
I wasn't sure you were there for a second there, John. You're probably distracted by everything that's going on. You're out looking for a defensive coordinator, aren't you?
I can neither confirm nor deny that I have been contacted by Auburn about the defensive coordinator position.
See, that was always our dream, right? You could be the defensive coordinator. I'd be the offensive coordinator. We'd both be happy. That would be so good. That'd be so good. But I figure they're probably going to go in a different direction.
And I'm fine with that.
We get the we're going in a different direction notice before the hire rather than after the hire. So, this has been a kind of a weird week. I mean, we thought that there would be some action easily by the end of the week, right? We were expecting to have somebody on board Friday. What do you see has happened? What do you think happened during the week that resulted in no hire yet?
Well, I think they zeroed in on Charles Kelly as the guy, as their number one candidate, and they went after him. And like, I don't know, Tuesday night, Wednesday, he said no, something like that. And then they came back and they said, you know what, he really is a number one candidate. Let's go again, even bigger. And they went back and offered to back up the truck and give him, you know, Muschamp level money and multi-year deal and a bunch of other stuff. And I think he really thought about it that time. And then at the end, you know, like Friday or whatever, he said no. So I think that's what happened. Is I think they focused their attention on him and went after him in a big way, and it didn't end up working. And so now they were kind of back to it. And then the other thing is they, you know, reached a point where we're in a recruiting dead period where coaches aren't allowed to contact recruits after today. So for the holidays. So that's a good thing. And it's, it really doesn't make any difference, you know, if they hire a coordinator, you know, tomorrow or Wednesday or Thursday in that sense, because you can't be calling and emailing recruits. I mean, they'll hear about it when they hear about it, when it's on the news like everybody else. And, you know, unless the guy's going to come in and coach the bowl game, then it doesn't matter from that perspective, the current perspective either. We got to start bowl practices. So the
advantage would have been that we'd have had somebody on board and we could have told all of the defensive recruits who it was and reassure them.
We could have had a bunch of them on campus this weekend.
Right.
To talk to him and meet him and stuff. And that way they all could have been reassured before the dead period starts.
But as it worked out, they can't hear from anybody else either. So it would have been nice, in other words, but it's not a backbreaker, really.
No, I don't think so. I mean, and again, I think Auburn did what we talked about in the last episode, what we wanted them to do, which was, you know, pick out somebody really good and go after him. Don't settle and don't panic or anything. Like, pick somebody you think is a really good candidate and do what you got to do to go get that person. Don't just take who's, you know, the people who are like banging on the door and faxing 20 copies of their resume just because they're available. So that, you know, I think that's what they did. It didn't work out. And I'm sorry to see that. Cause I, you know, I was interested in Kelly as we talked about last week, but now we got to move on and figure out, you know, who it's going to be.
Well, you have to think that, if you were Kelly, I mean, you're at a program that is poised to be one of the top two or three dominant powers in its conference. and you know, you don't have to pack up and move. You know, they're gonna give you a bunch of money for not leaving. I'm sure if he's got a family,
that's the other part. Is, I mean, whatever deal we offered him, I'm sure that Florida State now has to match it, basically. So
yeah.
He didn't lose anything on this deal.
Right, right. Well, my understanding was they were actually offering him more money from Auburn than he had made in his entire coaching career put together up until this point.
Probably. I mean, it was a lot of money. So
yeah,
he was going to do well. But I'm, you know, and Florida State is going to have to back up the truck and pay him now. So
if you're Lance Thompson. You're like, well, I'm glad to know that I'm on the list, and now they're talking to everybody else in America, and they're like, okay, Lance, just hold on 1 minute. We got to make one more call. What's that? No? Okay. Lance, we got to make one more call. Okay, hold on. One more call, Lance. We'll talk to you in just a minute, Lance, I promise, but we got to make just one more call, and they just keep they keep stringing him out. I mean,
Lance, you coached the defense during the bowl game.
Yeah,
we're going to be over here calling other people about next season.
Yeah. So now, I have a feeling that they are. I don't know if the powers that be in Auburn think this, but I think that pretty much everybody else feels like if they end up announcing Lance Thompson, it's something of a defeat because it means we had to come back in house after being turned away from anybody else outside the program. Does that sound right?
Yeah, that'll be the perception, yes, whether it's valid or not, sure.
And I mean, he could be a great defensive coordinator for all we know, but my point is that will be how it comes across, is that we talked to everybody else in America and then came back and said, okay, you can do it. I couldn't get anybody else, so okay.
That's fair. I mean, again, like, I don't care about winning the press conference or what our rivals think, whatever. I just want somebody that could do the job, and I like somebody who can do the job and isn't going to leave after this year.
Right.
That'd be really nice.
And we've hired coordinators before that the media made fun of and worked out great. Do you remember the reaction when Tuberville hired Al Borges?
Sure.
Feinbaum thought it was the funniest thing he'd ever heard in his life. He made so much fun of Al Borges, Feinbaum did. And a few months later, we were 13-0.
Mm-hmm.
So you never know.
Well, and Auburn's hired a lot of good defensive coordinators over the last 15, 20 years. We've hired a couple that weren't great, but we've hired a lot of pretty good ones, so... again, it's a good opportunity. We're going to pay a lot of money. I think a lot of good coaches would probably put their name on the list, and they're going to look around and find somebody. And, you know, I think, you know, the question is now, like, who's out there that we can get that we really want and not, you know, going, like I was saying, not settle.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we talked about some other people last week, whether they're still on the list or they're not available, we'll have to see. But
well, there's a name that's come up now.
Right. There's a name that, I mean, there's a name we heard this weekend, and we got a question about it from our buddy Reynolds Wolf.
Should we have Reynolds go ahead and ask the question now?
Sure.
Like an unwanted neighbor that comes over and visits.
From the Weather Channel, Reynolds Wolf.
Thundersnow!
I love that so much. I love it.
That sounded a lot better than last week, I think.
Yeah, I put it together. I did some work on it, but let's play it. I got to play it again. Get all the nuance. I'm going to turn it up a little bit. I want you to get all the nuance. Reynolds, this is for you, my dear friend. I just thought that you'd appreciate it because this is straight from the Weather Channel. This is Reynolds himself. Here we go.
Like an unwanted neighbor that comes over and visits.
From the Weather Channel, Reynolds Wolf.
Thundersnow.
Very nice.
I'm tickling myself. All right. I hope he's taking all this in good spirit. He knows we're just teasing, but we love having him associated with our show, and he always asks great questions too. And he sure does love Auburn, and we love him. So okay. So what's his question?
Well, his question was about one of the candidates that's rumored now is this guy Tom Allen, who's the defensive coordinator at South Florida.
Mm-hmm.
Who's supposed to be pretty good.
Where's his connections, though? Before he was at South Florida, where was he?
I don't remember.
He was at Ole Miss. He was the linebacker.
That's right.
He was the linebacker's coach at Ole Miss until the end of 2014, and then South Florida hired him. So he's one of these coaches that's been in the SEC. He's coached in SEC defense, at least. I believe he was the special teams coordinator as well as the linebacker's coach, and had a pretty darn good track record, good enough for USF to come and hire him away as the defensive coordinator down there. So this would be everything I've seen about him, this would not be a bad hire at all. He had a lot to do with building that Landshark defense at Ole Miss and recruiting some of those really good players over there that they have. And now he's had some experience being a defensive coordinator. So, in fact, I'm going to look up their record this past year just to see kind of. But what do you think about that?
He's not somebody that was on my original list, but he's an interesting candidate. And, I'm interested to see, I'm trying to look and see how good they were on defense.
Well, let's see. They gave up 3 points to FAMU, 34 to Florida State, 35 to Maryland. They held Memphis to just 24. They held Syracuse to 24. They held Connecticut to 20, SMU to 14.
All right. They were pretty good.
Yeah, Cincinnati. They held Cincinnati to 27. They beat Cincinnati and Tuberville 65 to 27, and they beat Central Florida 44-3. That's not too bad.
I told you I like to look at the advanced stats for to see where teams are on defense, because it's adjusted for your opponents and stuff.
Yeah,
and so I'm looking at the S&P rankings on defense, and they're 39th in the country, but that's not bad. They're right there next to like NC State, Notre Dame. They're above, Mississippi State, Pittsburgh, Duke, UCLA.
You know who they're above? They're South Florida.
They're
above us.
I know they're above us, but that's why, they're also above like Southern Cal, Georgia Southern. They're above them. On the list too. So
I'm feeling better about this.
Yeah, no, that's pretty impressive. And they were kind of strong across the board in every area, rushing and pass defense. So, no, that's pretty impressive. And, the guy's got SEC connections and did a good job there. So he should certainly be on the list, I think.
Yeah. So I'm cool with that. Plus he worked for Hugh Freeze, for a while. And you got to think that Gus and Hugh got together and, Gus is like, tell me about this guy. And so he knows more about him than the average coach he'd be looking at like that.
That's right.
So he's got inside information. And if Hugh says, you don't want him, then Gus is like, hire him. Let's hire him then. Hugh's like, nah, you don't want that guy at Auburn. No. He sucks.
Well, and did the coach of South Florida just leave?
This is exciting radio. we're both looking stuff up on Google for our audience here.
Yeah.
It's not Leavitt anymore.
No, it's Willie Taggart, but
he came from Western Kentucky. I can't find anything new on him.
Okay, maybe I thought he was leaving to go to somewhere else, but maybe he's not. So anyhow, that would impact this other guy, Tom Allen, that we're talking about hiring. So that is riveting radio, us Googling this. But, again, go back to the other candidates we talked about before. I don't know Aranda, I don't think, is leaving Wisconsin. Bob Shoup made up, that's the other guy, that guy at Penn State. Jack Curtis is the Georgia Southern guy. I told you, he was a candidate last week. And, Paul Rhodes. I think it's probably worth a phone call. I think among those guys, but Allen clearly has recruited the SEC recently and as a defensive coordinator. So that's one to keep an eye on, I think.
Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and put my chips on him now. Surely we can get him from South Florida.
Sure.
If we go down to South Florida and try to hire
Chizik defensive coordinator. Chizik was the defensive coordinator at Central Florida when we hired him.
That's right, yeah. But, if Auburn goes down to South Florida and offers a bunch of money to coach defensive coordinator in the SEC at Auburn, and the guy says, no, I'd rather stay at South Florida, that's when I'm going to start getting nervous about things, about the situation, okay? That's when I'm going to start getting nervous.
I don't think that's going to happen.
Well, in that case, we may be hearing something pretty soon.
But, I mean, again, because of the dead period thing, they don't have to rush right now.
Right.
They can really take their time, think about, is there anybody else out there in America they want to, you know, interview or talk to about this, and then go talk to those people. So.
Yeah. Okay. Well, let's see. What else is on the docket for this week? You want to look ahead to what's coming up in the new year?
Yeah. I thought we'd talk a little bit about 2016 and kind of what we think is going to happen. Mm-hmm. With the team and the roster and that kind of stuff. And we'll know a lot more after, you know, we get the new defensive coordinator and after signing day and that kind of stuff. But just thought it'd be fun to take a few minutes and think about what's going on there. Who do you think will start at quarterback against Clemson in the home opener?
Well, Before I try to throw an idea out on that, did you notice that one of our quarterback recruits got his leg all messed up the other day?
I saw that, but that guy's like 2 years away.
Yeah, I know, but he already had a horrible leg problem that was going to make him miss the whole season this year, and he came back and played in like the All-Star game, or no, I guess it was the playoffs, and re-injured the same knee, so... And he's a dual threat type guy, so that makes me a bit concerned for him, of course, but also for us. So, but yeah, we do have. Well, I mean, we've got the junior college guy coming in from Florida State, you know, originally, and we've got the high school player coming in from South Florida.
Woody Barrett.
Woody Barrett. I can't ever think of Woody Barrett's name. And I apologize. Yeah, we got Woody Barrett coming in as a freshman, coming in January. And we got the kid that's the dual threat that transferred from Florida State to a community college, right?
Yep.
And is now kind of a JUCO, and that's coming in as, I guess, as a sophomore or a junior?
A junior, I think.
Okay. Given what we know about how Gus and Rhett operate, I'm going to say the JUCO kid will be our starting quarterback.
That's probably fair.
The only thing that makes me hesitate on that is if Sean White comes back ready to rock and roll and they feel like he's a better option knowing the offense. But they don't hesitate to go with who they think can get the job done. And so what do you think? I mean, do you agree with me that Sean White would be the other option if they don't like either one of the newcomers?
I think so. I mean, again, like I hope Sean White's 100% healthy and plays in the bowl game.
Yeah.
Because I think he could do really well. But, I think that's the way to go. I think it's going to be this junior college guy. I
mean, I'm going to tell you right now, if you put Sean White on a team like – Boise State or, one of the not 1AA, but just above them, but below the big power teams, I think he could be a record setting quarterback. I just don't know in the SEC West if you can live long enough without being that mobile, you know, and he's not mobile. He's just not super mobile.
Well, you either have to be mobile or you have to be a big guy. I mean, you have to take the, you know, like some of these other, the big quarterbacks, like, who's that gigantic guy that Arkansas had that was, but you got to be able to take a pounding.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, like I said before, one of our listeners who's an Alabama fan that was tweeting with me said, I really like Sean White. I'm afraid y'all are going to get him killed. And I totally knew what he meant. I mean, he was just, you know, before he got hurt, you could tell he was going to get hurt because he was getting killed back there. So, and I blame that really on our receivers because the offensive line is not horrible and Sean is good, but they just weren't getting open, weren't giving him any options. If he has some targets to throw to and has just a couple of seconds, he could be a very good quarterback. I'm just not sure he could be a 14 game, you know, SEC West quarterback on the line.
Well, and especially in this offense, it requires him to run, you know, five times a game or whatever, because, you know, he's running upfield against defenses full of future NFL players, and he gets annihilated sometimes.
Exactly. So. Exactly. Yeah. That's no knock on him at all. He's and like I say, I think he could be a star at a level where people are a little more his size, you know. But my goodness, he's got the guts, you know, to go out there and compete like that. You can't take anything away from him.
No, so. I mean, again, I think if he could stay healthy, I think he could be the quarterback for this team and be successful, and we'd be fine.
But I would like to see somebody who's a little more of an offensive threat beyond just throwing short passes.
Sure.
That's what I would like. I'd like a little more Nick Marshall, a little more Damian Craig. I mean, we'll never get Cam Newton, but, you know, that's what I would kind of.
Sure.
That's what I'd like to see. So, who else, what other kind of turnover do we have on the roster coming up?
Well, I mean, we've had the on-again, off-again rumors about Rock Thomas transferring.
Yeah.
And we've talked about that. And then, we still got the guys waiting to see if they're going to go pro.
Montravius and
Carl Wallace. Two offensive tackles. If you told me today I have to bet, on who's going and who's staying, I would bet money that Carl Lawson and Avery Young are going pro.
Hmm. Okay.
And that Sean Coleman and Montravius Adams are not. But I could be wrong.
Montravius is an interesting specimen, isn't he? He had all the hype. And he's not been bad, you know. He's done a decent job. He's just never quite been the monster.
No, but he's just not consistent.
Yeah. He's never quite been Nick Fairley, which is, I guess, what we kind of thought he was going to be.
He's never, like, Nick Fairley was like this, his first couple years. He wasn't until he was, had that junior year where he was crazy that he was so good, so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, nobody saw that coming. It was amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody saw just random guy on the defensive line suddenly become, a first-round NFL guy.
He had the ability. I mean, again, it's like Montravius. You could see the flashes where he could make that play. The thing is, he just didn't make that play every time.
Yeah. And, that just highlights, we've talked about this before, but I was thinking about this yesterday or today, that when people say, Gus has forgotten how to coach or something, just understand – the 2010 team was not that different from the 2009 team. The main difference was two players, Cam Newton as the mobile quarterback and Nick Fairley as the defensive lineman that could not be blocked. Adding two players, a healthy Carl Lawson or, somebody of that nature on defense, and having an athletic, mobile, accurate quarterback on offense – that makes all the difference in the world. It's amazing how much difference one or two players can make in college football today.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, and like we said all year, it comes down to good quarterback play, getting A-level quarterback play. And if we get that, the offense will be fine.
Yeah.
So who are we adding? The other thing is last year we had a bunch of guys transferring and coming onto the roster. And as far as I know, we don't have anybody doing that this year, right?
Junior college guys coming in, you mean?
No. Remember last year we had Trey Matthews sitting out.
Oh, yeah.
And we had Austin Golson sitting out.
That's right.
And we don't have anybody like that right now. I mean, we had Countess come in as a senior graduate student transfer.
Yeah.
But we don't have anybody doing like the regular transfer thing to Auburn. It'd be interesting to see if somebody follows Countess's lead, or like this receiver that Alabama had this year went to Oregon State, was a graduate transfer for them. So it'd be interesting to see if we get somebody like that. I think players have been doing that in other sports a lot more than football, but I think it's coming to football. We're going to see a lot more of it.
Well, I just feel like we need to get some – well, obviously we got to bolster our defensive line and our linebackers, but we also need to get some receivers that can get open and catch the ball. I mean, it was devastating to not. It's another player, this past year that didn't pan out was Duke Williams. And, you know, when all of your key, when the key guys you're counting on at all the key positions are suddenly all not panning out at once, it makes it kind of hard, you know?
Well, and it's tied together because, mm-hmm. you know, Duke not panning out hurt Jeremy Johnson.
Absolutely.
And hurt his, you know, not having the sure-handed All-American wide receiver there on third down and stuff was bad.
And losing who thought how much it would hurt us to lose Myron Burton?
I don't know about that, but
he was supposed
to be the speed guy.
He was catching everything in a day.
Mm-hmm. He was definitely the speed guy.
And then he's off the team. So you throw away the speed guy and the possession guy, and all you got left is
Ricardo.
Ricardo, yeah. And now that he's going off to his bowl game and we will never see him again, I realized that I needed to have a I Love Lucy quote. Every time we said Ricardo, I could play Babaloo. Too little, too late, John. Well, we're losing a bunch of seniors. We're losing Tucker Tuberville. How will we ever get by? But we're also losing Jonathan Wallace, who's, you know, a good clubhouse leader, I think.
I mean, on defense, you know, Countess and Jonathan Jones, you know, in the secondary.
Yeah.
You know, and then the linebackers, Garrett, Chris Frost, and McKenzie are all seniors. Up front, Devontae Lambert's a senior. So, you know, that's a lot of experience on the defense, a lot of experienced guys. And then, you know, on offense, Ricardo and Melvin Ray are the two main guys.
Did you realize that we have two receivers on the roster? They are both last name King. So you got to put their first initial on their jersey. Well, their first initial is both G. So you got to put the second letter, and their second initial is both R. So they're both G.R. King. They're both wide receivers. They are both 5'10". They both weigh 170 pounds, and they're both from Atlanta, and they both played at Marist School. How does that happen? Is that like a glitch in the web? They have, and one's 87, the other 89. One's a sophomore, one's a freshman.
Maybe they're brothers.
You know what? I bet that's what it is.
It's Gray King and Griffin King.
That's it.
Griffin King. This is like a Game of Thrones character.
Bring in Griffin King. Oh, Princess of Dragons, Griffin King will marry you and conquer Westeros. Oh. There you go. I don't have Game of Thrones music, I'm sorry.
It's all right. But I mean, so I think the, you know, linebackers, you know, the position we got to worry about. Defensive line, especially if we lost both Lawson and Adams, you know, addition to Lambert, that would be really big. But linebackers in position where, you know, Trey Williams stepped up this year and had some good games, but we're going to need some other guys to step up and play a lot next year who haven't, you know, played a lot so far this year.
We need some depth. Depth at linebacker has been our problem for these many years.
So that's the real issues I think that are coming up in terms of the depth chart, and then, you know, there's going to be some guys who transfer in or get transfer out or get kicked off the team, whatever. That always happens every year. And then, you know, we've heard the Rock Thomas rumors. You've heard rumors about Jeremy, although he's denied. You know, he said he's not going anywhere. So
right, yeah. I wouldn't blame him, but he's serviceable when he keeps within himself, and maybe he has a really good off season. I mean, you know, but I say, it would have helped him a whole lot to have some receivers that could catch the ball and could get open. I mean, I know he made some not so bright decisions, but he also had the receivers let him down quite a lot. So did Sean. Let's see. So losing and adding. You want to talk about the schedule?
Sure.
I was looking at it a little bit earlier, and honestly, our break comes, I believe, let's see.
We have an off week in mid-October.
Mid-October, right. So we open up with 6 straight games. We could start 1-3. We could start 1-3. I could see that without a problem. Because we start versus Clemson, and they could very well be the defending national champions, although they are Clemson. So let's all bear that in mind. Good luck with, you know, winning 2 more games. We got Arkansas State, and, you know, honestly, you can't take them for granted when we're a 6-6 Auburn team. You can't take Arkansas State for granted. They're a decent team. They're a decent program. Then we got Texas A&M coming in, who just lost their Kyle Allen just transferred. And you kind of saw that coming. One of them was going to go, and it was him. Mm-hmm. And then we got LSU. Now, we got all 4 of those in Auburn, which is not bad. We don't play an away game until October 8th at Starkville. That's crazy. There's a
factoid of the week.
We played on the road at, I believe, Texas A&M, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the last time we'll be on the road, other than the bowl game, until October 8th of next year against, I may have used this one before, but that's still pretty mind blowing. And then we come back to play Arkansas at Auburn. So our six of our first 7 games are in Auburn next year.
I think that's good. It's a tough schedule because it's the year we play on the road at Georgia and Alabama.
Right.
But again, Georgia's got a new coach, and right now they don't have a quarterback. And Alabama's going to lose a lot off of this team. Clemson's going to be really tough. I mean, they're going to have a lot of players back, and their quarterback will be back. We got to go to Mississippi State, no Dak Prescott.
Yeah.
We got to go to Ole Miss. They're going to lose a lot of guys off this team. A lot of the big juniors that are in that number one declining class, I think everybody thinks they're all going to go pro. And so I think, you know, those road games aren't quite as scary as they could be, but the schedule's plenty tough. But I love, you know, especially with a new quarterback,
right?
And the team trying to get some confidence and stuff. I like having all these games at home, you know, so they can get their legs under them before we go play a road game.
I'm not going to go through and break down each one. We do whole shows about that later on.
Sure.
But I will say this. We could start 1-3, and I really hate that we have to go to Mississippi State and Ole Miss, because those two games could tell the tale for next year, right? They could be the difference between another 6-6 year and an 8-4 year.
And we get revenge on Vanderbilt next year, man.
I'm not sure if I should be excited. Well, honestly, they come to us. Now, we always struggle against Vanderbilt in Nashville, but we usually do pretty well against them in Auburn. So I'm going to hope. Let's say we lost to them in 2008. We played them in Vanderbilt, and then we lost to them in 2012. Was it in Vandy?
I think so.
So we haven't played a home game against Vanderbilt in a long time.
Yep.
Wow. And actually wish this one was in Vanderbilt so I could actually go to it, because it's not that far. But no, I'm not. So yeah, we got Vanderbilt. We've got we've got Arkansas State, Louisiana Monroe, Vanderbilt, Alabama A&M. That's 4 we should win. We've got Alabama and Clemson. That's 2 we probably will lose if everything stays the same. And then that leaves us 6 games to kind of carve out. What do you think? Maybe if we go 3-3 in those, that'll be 7-5. Do we feel better about the program at that point if we split those 3-3?
I don't think people would feel better if we were 7-5.
Well, let me just say, that would be Texas A&M, LSU, the Mississippi schools, Arkansas and Georgia. If we go 3-3 against those 6 teams, that'd be better than we did this year.
It's true.
We'll talk about what Georgia has done coming up when we travel around the SEC. So, okay. Well, I got another factoid. Do you have anything else about the schedule you want to say?
No.
Okay.
A miracle to turn to hair!
Well, that's what it may take, but I hit the wrong button. That's what it may take. I mean, I look at next year's schedule, honestly, and there's parts of it that make me say,
holy cow! Oh, my God!
But there's other parts of it that make me say,
my cold, dead hands.
Lock of the week.
So, I think if we could go 8-4 on that schedule, we would feel pretty good. And then we'd go into a bowl game, go 9-4, and I'd feel like we had things turn around on the way back up again. That's how I see it. All right, here's my
factoid of the week.
Factoid of the week.
And for this one, I'm just going to point out that Alabama fans do not care that Derrick Henry won the Heisman Trophy. They don't. If you've seen him on Twitter or in your neighborhood or on the email or on TV, whatever, and they seem happy about it, pay them no attention. Because we know that they don't care. How do I know that they don't care, John? Do you know why I think they don't care?
Because they told you that.
Because they have told us for dozens and dozens of years, Alabama fans unanimously have told us, we don't care about the Heisman Trophy. That's an individual achievement. We're into team accomplishments at Bama. We into team accomplishments. We don't care about your Heisman trophies. That was, of course, when we had 2 and they had 0. And then as soon as they caught within 1 of us at 2-1, Cam came along and gave us another and made it 3-1. So we should all be extremely grateful to Cameron Newton for pulling us ahead again because they won another one. And so if you hear an Alabama fan saying how excited and cool it is and the Heisman rocks and they have 2 of them now, haha, you can just remind them that Alabama fans do not care about the Heisman Trophy. They've told us so for many years. All right. With that,
it's time for listener questions. Dun, 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 on the AU Wishbone Podcast.
What do we got?
All right, first question comes from Auburn Tiger Talk, who says, my wife says I care about too much about Auburn. What do you think?
Well, when you're sitting in your living room on a Saturday afternoon and nothing at all physically bad is happening to you, and all of a sudden you begin to scream,
oh, it's the worst one. This is a big one. Hear that, Elizabeth? I'm coming to join you, honey.
Then maybe just a little bit. Right? Maybe just a little bit. But if you do,
blame yourself.
Because you don't have to love Auburn this much. But you know what? We just do. It's in our blood. It's in our soul. We can't help it. I mean, I worry sometimes that I care too much also. But I couldn't be myself and be otherwise. Could you?
No, but I think as we talked about, we clearly love Auburn because we're sitting here every week doing a podcast about
absolutely
football team. But you also, as getting older, you have perspective about things and about, wins and losses maybe don't bother me as much as they used to.
Stupid perspective.
I know, stupid perspective. But it's also like, I think you have to lead a balanced life, too. I mean, you can't be a person that's the only thing about you. So,
well, I think we've made that abundantly clear because if the folks have been listening to our show this season, this has not been a particularly fun season to cover, but we've tried to keep it light and to keep a positive attitude and keep a sense of humor about it and keep it in perspective. And I think more than anything, I mean, we've had people tweet us and email us and various other contact ways to tell us, the show is entertaining or they enjoy the show. But I think the one thing that I've heard the most as feedback from our listeners this season has been that they appreciate us keeping it in perspective.
That's right.
So, stupid perspective. all right, what else we got?
All right, that was a good question. Next question comes from Jonathan Harris, who's at AU Zoom. And his first thing is, So based on history, 2016 will be the year Auburn goes undefeated with the national title, right?
That's how history seems to work. I mean, you know, I as foolish as I was to predict that we would buck all trends this year, I would be just as foolish to say that we won't do that next year.
Remind me, I want to come back to this topic of our preseason predictions for this year's team.
I don't want to
talk. I want to come back to that later. No, I want to come back to that because we made some mistakes there, obviously.
Mistakes were made. Passive voice. Mistakes were made. All right.
Okay. His other question is that he agreed with us that it's much easier to be an Auburn fan living outside of the state of Alabama. But he wanted to know how do we know so much about what's going on living so far away from Auburn? He says no one in North Carolina talks about Auburn.
Well, nobody up here talks about it. Do you know that this? When I first met my wife about 10 years ago, she'd never heard of Auburn. I never heard. So, not a lot of talk. So how do we know some? Well, I mean, speaking for me, it's two things. One is that I've paid attention to it my entire life and just soaked it up. That's how I know the history of it. Like I've always said, I can tell you statistics from the 1987 Mississippi State game. I couldn't tell you what I had for lunch yesterday. It's just what your priorities are and what you think is important to remember for whatever dumb reason. But the other thing is that we are inundated nowadays with, electronic media. We might as well be in Auburn for all the information that we get here, you know.
Yeah, it was much harder to keep up with things 20 years ago living somewhere else than it is now. I mean, now it's everything's on the internet and on Twitter or whatever else, and you learn pretty quickly what's going on.
Yeah.
You don't have to be physically on the ground in Auburn. I mean, again, I sort of perspective for younger people who – you know, can't appreciate this. In 1993, Auburn went undefeated and none of the games were on television.
None, right.
And I didn't live in Auburn. So it was a problem.
Yeah, I got to go to every one of them. Okay, 93, I went to all but two because we went off to Arkansas and Vanderbilt. And I didn't go to either one of those games, but I was at the other nine. And then 1993. And then 1994, I was at every game. But those days are long gone. I was in graduate school at Auburn. I had, money, and I had nothing better to do with my life. So I went to all those games. But I went to 20 of 22 games those 2 years. You were in Mississippi then, weren't you? Because I saw – because we got together at a couple of the games over there.
In 94, I was in Mississippi. And we came to some games then, but
– yeah.
In 93, I was still in Northern Virginia and did not get to watch the games on TV. It was a problem.
No, that's right.
All right. Our next question comes from KC1.
Hold on. I got one other thing. I knew there was something I was going to say. Back in the day, back in the 80s, about the only source of information we had, other than if you were one of those fancy pants subscribers to Inside the Auburn Tigers magazine, I don't know if you're – knowing your dad, y'all probably got it. We didn't. Because my granddad was dirt cheap. My granddad reluctantly let me have a camera, but would not pony up for color film. I had to use black and white film when I was a kid, okay? So that's how cheap my grandparents were, bless their hearts. Taught me the value of a dollar. The one source we had was the Birmingham News. Think about that, Auburn fans. The only place you really had to turn. Living, where I was, which was above the Montgomery, Columbus line, where you get everything from the Montgomery and Columbus media markets. It's funny, when I went off to Auburn, I was stunned to realize that in Auburn they get the Montgomery and Columbus TV stations and newspapers. And that was kind of neat because I'd never, you had your choice. But living in Sylacauga as a kid, basically the Birmingham News was all we had. And so I was getting all my Auburn information from whatever was left of the sports section after they finished talking about Alabama every day.
Oh,
oops, sorry. Man, the soundboard's a little sensitive tonight. Okay, next question.
Next question comes from KC1, and he says, what's more important in the next defensive coordinator, great developer of talent or great recruiter? Good question.
That's tough because we kind of need both right now. We kind of need both, especially on the defensive line.
Well, but you know what? I might say developer of talent. I think there's plenty of guys on the roster that can recruit.
That's true.
That can get the players in here. But if you got somebody that can, you know, develop them, make them their reach their potential. And I think there's a lot of guys on the current roster that have a lot of potential they haven't reached.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think so. I would say developer of talent.
I like it.
Our next question comes from Ross Hatcher.
Mm-hmm.
And, okay. He says, which actors would play major characters from the last decade of Auburn football?
Oh,
coaches,
man.
Players, administrators.
Oh, I'd like to have some time to think about that.
Yeah. This one, we may have to listen, Ross. We could do a whole, Van and I, this is one of those things we could write a whole column about or do a whole show about.
Yeah. We need to do that. Let's do that this spring or summer. Let's do a whole episode where we cast Auburn football, the movie. Make a note.
All right, I'm on it. Auburn football, the movie. I like it.
I just saw an actor yesterday, and I can't think who it was now, but I just saw an actor yesterday that I thought, that guy is just like Gene Chizik. So I got to figure out who that was because he was perfect. He just looked just like Chizik, and I can't think who it was.
Well, and we need to if you have suggestions –
You
would like to see cast at Auburn the movie, let us know.
Send it in. We'll do Auburn the movie, the episode. Yeah, absolutely.
That I like it. Cool.
Absolutely.
I got great news for you.
Auburn beat Alabama by 12 points.
No, this is important, honestly.
There you go, the movie.
All right, that's it for listener questions.
Okay, I guess that means...
trip around the FTC.
Okay, so we want to look at what's going on, kind of the coaching carousel. I guess the big thing, Kirby Smart is over at Georgia now, and he's driving the Alabama fans crazy by taking – he not only did he take like a coach or two from the Alabama staff that they wanted, he's driving Brett Bielema crazy. Did you see how Kirby Smart and Bielema are already kind of squaring off?
Well, he hired Jim Chaney, who is Bielema's former offensive coordinator, who had left to go into Pitt, and he stole Arkansas's offensive line coach.
So they're basically going to – Georgia's offense next year is going to look like Arkansas's offense in 2014, basically. And Bielema said, why don't you just hire me? We'll swap places.
That's true. They could have gone and gotten him.
Yeah,
man,
just
can
swap.
You imagine Bielema at Georgia?
At Georgia?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. It looked like Vince Dooley back again, just running, you know, he'll run the ball and, oh, wow. But that just struck me as funny. No, I love it when anybody gets Bielema fired up. That always cracks me up.
But we like, I mean, Chaney, he was really good at Arkansas last year.
Yeah, he's
creative in the run game. He's kind of jumped around a lot because he was somewhere else before that.
Mm-hmm.
And he was at Arkansas for 1 year. Then he was at Pitt, and now he's there.
Mm-hmm.
And I was going to make fun of it today because I was going to say, like, basically, you know, anytime you could hire the offensive coordinator of the ninth best ACC offense, you got to get right on that. But,
the problem is it's true, actually, in this case.
But it is true. And it's also like they had a bunch of injuries. They have a running back who was like the ACC player of the year who broke his leg and missed the whole season named James Conner, I think. So, you know, there's only so much you could blame him, but – I watched him play a couple of times this year, and he does a very good job. So it's a good hire for Georgia.
Does Georgia have a defensive coordinator yet? I can't remember.
No, they don't.
Oh, boy.
So, again, I mean, they're looking, we're looking, Michigan's looking. Yeah. Ohio State just hired Greg Schiano, who's, a former college head coach, former NFL head coach, to be their defensive coordinator. So
that's pretty nice. Pruitt went to Bama.
Yeah, not a big shock.
No.
That's where I thought he would go, you know, there, Georgia. And he's kind of burned his bridges at Georgia, I think. So
yeah,
he'll go be the defensive coordinator there.
He came from Alabama, right, to go originally to Florida.
Yeah, he was the secondary coach at Alabama before he was the defensive coordinator at Florida State. So.
And then he went to Georgia, and now he's back to Alabama again, kind of did the loop.
Yeah.
And he was at Florida State like 1 or 2 years and at Georgia for 1 year, right? So he's another one hopped around a lot.
And that's just the nature of the business with the money and the way coaches are changing so much right now. But
oh, did you see Florida Muschamp at Florida hired back his offensive coordinator from Florida?
He what? Did. He hired Kurt Roper.
Those South Carolina fans have got to be like, woo, yay. Oh, how exciting. We could have an offense almost as dynamic as Florida had the last couple of years.
Hey, listen, if they own Georgia the way that Florida did, they could be pretty happy with it. But, I mean, again, Muschamp had bad luck with the offense and the quarterback position. A couple guys transferred away that ended up being starting quarterbacks in the ACC and good players, so that really hurt them. So the big, you know, it comes. It's like a lot of teams. You got to recruit and the right quarterbacks and develop them and coach them up to play. And if they do that, they'll be fine. But you know, again, they don't have a ton of talent on the roster. I mean, I think Pharaoh Cooper's going to go pro, and other than that, you know, I'm not sure there's anybody in that team that scares you. So
no. All right. I don't know if there's any other coaching moves. You want to talk a couple of minutes about the playoffs? About the
we can.
Playoffs? Playoffs? You kidding me? Playoffs?
Again, I really wanted Alabama to have to play Oklahoma and Dallas. I think that would have been much more fun.
Yeah.
And I think just from among the three teams, I think Clemson and Oklahoma both have a much better chance to beat Alabama than Michigan State does. Just because they have much more dynamic offenses and mobile quarterbacks, again, how many teams has Alabama played this year that had both a good defense and a very good quarterback?
Not a lot.
One. That would be Ole Miss.
Yeah, and they lost.
That's right. I mean, they haven't played any other teams that have both of those things.
Well, you said a really good quarterback, so it can't be anybody in the SEC. Other than Ole Miss.
Well, I mean, that's it. You have to have both.
Right.
I mean, Dak Prescott's very good, but they don't have a very good defense.
Right, right.
So, you know, they played Wisconsin in a non-conference game. The quarterback's terrible. So, in the playoff, they're going to face three teams that have both of those things. I mean, they're all excellent on defense, and they all have very good quarterbacks. I mean, Michigan State's quarterback's an NFL quarterback, Connor Cook.
Yeah.
And Michigan State is incredibly well-coached. I told you they're 6-1 in their last seven games against top 10 competition, and they went into Ohio State to beat them this year without Cook, with their backup quarterback playing. So I think they can beat Alabama. It's just going to be a question of, and the other thing about Michigan State is they got a little bit of a 2013 Auburn thing going on with them, where they had two games this year that they trailed the entire game until the last second.
Yeah.
Where they – one of them they won on a kick, and the other one was that Michigan game where they won on the block punt return.
Who was the other one besides – I remember – everybody remembers the Michigan one, but what was the other one? I can't even remember.
The other one was like – I think they've lost to Nebraska. That's their only regular season loss. They beat some – well, that's the thing is they lost Nebraska and they had some close calls on some other people that they didn't have any business losing to.
Yeah.
But they beat Oregon, they beat Michigan, and they beat Ohio State.
Yeah.
So, Ohio State has as much talent as Alabama does.
Yeah.
And they went into their building and beat them. So,
but yet Alabama's a double-digit favorite.
I get that. That's a betting thing. And if you're going to bet money, I get it. But I think Michigan State, I think about the last time these two teams played was the 2010 bowl game, I think, where Alabama beat them like 60-0. But this is a different, these teams are both different. And I think, Michigan State is well coached enough to hang around in this game and have a chance to win it. And we thought Alabama was going to crush Ohio State last year. I think the Big Ten's better. And I think, they have a really good quarterback, and Michigan State is battle tested. I mean, they've been in a lot of big games the last couple of years, and their coaches and their players have kind of been through the fire in that perspective. And the other one, Clemson and Oklahoma. Clemson's been the best team all year. I mean, the defense is excellent. They got a lot. Shaq Lawson's really good at defensive end. And their quarterback, Watson, is probably the best quarterback in the whole country. He's really like can run, he can throw, he can do everything. And they have we thought they'd lose a lot with losing the offensive coordinator, but their offense has been still just as good. And Oklahoma's, they have a lot of really good running backs and receivers, and their quarterback is this, Baker Mayfield guy who walked on from Texas, transfer from Texas Tech. And, but they have a lot of NFL players, on defense too. And I think, again, I wish one of those teams was playing Alabama first, because I think both of those teams have a better chance to beat Alabama than Michigan State does. But, if I had to bet money, I think the winner of the Clemson-Oklahoma game is going to win the whole thing.
It would be interesting for the number four team to win the first two times.
Uh-huh.
Wouldn't it? And it could.
It could.
I haven't watched Oklahoma that closely this year. Watched Oklahoma a lot closer last year because they played Kansas State after we did, and I was watching Kansas State a lot and just kind of keeping an eye on the Big 12.
I mean,
I haven't paid any attention to the Big 12 this year.
I watched a lot, and I watched them play Tennessee earlier in the season, and Tennessee was beating them by 20 points in Knoxville, and they came back and won.
Yeah.
They had one really, really great receiver who just ate Tennessee up in the second half, and then Mayfield just caught fire at the end of the game, and they just rolled up and down the field, and Tennessee kind of melted down. And I watched them play some other Big 12 teams. I watched them play Baylor, and I watched them play – again, their only loss was to Texas, who's terrible. But I watched them play Baylor, and I watched them play Oklahoma State. And they're really good on both sides of the ball. They're explosive. They have two running backs who any team in the country would love to have. And one of them is a Samaje Perine guy who's who's a big physical, kind of a Nick Chubb looking kind of running back. And the other one is this freshman Mixon who's, been convicted of a crime and sat out last year. But he's
the Florida State plan.
Yeah, basically. But he's very fast. And so they have talent. I mean, they got a lot of talent. And they're well coached. They hired this guy, Lincoln Riley, who is the offensive coordinator at East Carolina, and they run, that kind of same, the Mike Leach, four wide receiver kind of offense that a lot of Big 12 teams run, and they run it well. So,
and that gives Alabama problems usually.
It does. I mean, again, the biggest thing is I think, Connor Cook, the Michigan State quarterback, is like a classic NFL quarterback. I mean, he can move around a little bit, but he's not a mobile guy. But he's a big guy. He's got a good arm. He's pretty accurate. But the two guys for Clemson and Oklahoma are both very mobile. And they can run and they can move around in the pocket and make guys miss. And I think those are the kind of guys that are going to cause Alabama real problems. So.
All right. Well, yeah, it's too bad they play each other instead of both getting a shot at Alabama theoretically. Mm-hmm. But as I've said before, I don't trust Clemson. I mean, maybe they could beat Alabama. And it would be awesome to see Alabama lose to their own, hometown boy there. But but I just don't trust Clemson. I don't. You put Alabama and Clemson in a game together, I don't care how good Clemson is and how bad Alabama is, I don't trust Clemson.
It's fair.
I just don't trust them. Let's see. We're running short on time. Maybe we can do I don't know if we're getting another chance, though, to talk about the bowls. Are there any upcoming immediate bowl games you want to touch on real quick before we wrap up tonight?
No, we're good. We'll come back before the Auburn bowl game and talk about it a lot more about Memphis and what we expect. And hopefully by then we'll have a defensive coordinator.
That would be great. It would be nice to be able to talk about our new defensive coordinator that we've actually had for several days if we come back next time.
That'd be exciting.
Since we have a bowl game coming up, it'd be nice to have more than two guys on the defensive staff trying to run everything, wouldn't it?
That'd be good.
That'd be good. Okay. Well, let's see. What have we learned tonight? We've learned we don't have a defensive coordinator, but we know there's a couple of guys out there and a guy in there that maybe wouldn't be horrible. So maybe we'll have one soon. What else have we learned tonight? Other than my monitor is covered in a thick layer of dust. Ugh.
You don't trust Clemson.
I don't trust Clemson as far as I can throw them, and I cannot throw Clemson very far.
You're happy anytime anybody makes Bielema mad.
It's pretty entertaining, yeah. It is interesting. I'm just trying to figure out what we have to expect out of Georgia. It's funny the next couple of years. It's funny that what I've been hearing from the national media this week has been just total panning of Muschamp to South Carolina. Right? Everybody thinks that was an idiotic, stupid decision, and the ACC's coaching hires were so much better than the SEC's, coaching hires. But the other thing I've been hearing from a lot of the national sports media the last few days is about how Kirby Smart is not the slam dunk Georgia seems to think he is, and a lot of people think he's going to fall on his face. What do you think about that?
I mean, again, he's never coached a, right. He's never been a head coach in the SEC, and you really are throwing some money in the fire when you have a first-time head coach.
Yep.
Everybody thought Will Muschamp was a slam dunk. He was the slam dunk of slam dunks. He was supposed to be the head coach at Texas, and then he ended up being the head coach at Florida. So everybody saw it in him. So I mean, it's just again, Kirby Smart hasn't dealt with the media. Nick Saban shields his assistants from all that kind of stuff. Doesn't let him talk to anybody. And we know he's a good recruiter, and we know he's a good defensive coordinator. But it's one of the. It's like saying that Rhett Lashley's a great offensive coordinator or not. I mean, you don't know because Saban and Smart shared the role basically. So you don't know how he's going to be as a head coach. And also, I just think the idea that you're going to win the SEC by duplicating what Alabama's doing somewhere else isn't necessarily going to work all the time. I think it's better to go in a different direction a little bit, like Auburn has. So
we preached strong against that in 2012. Remember, you don't want to be Alabama light. You want to be Auburn.
That's right. So we'll I think and that's where Georgia is trying to be Alabama light with Smart. But there, I think, that's why hiring Chaney and this offensive line coach are smart, because Georgia's, continually gotten these great tailbacks, and I think they're just going to keep doing that stuff. So, and Chaney is a lot better if Bark Rick had hired Chaney instead of Schottenheimer, he'd still be there. So,
yeah, that's probably so. Okay, well, don't forget to pick up, if you haven't already, there's still time for Christmas to get a copy of Lorindo. I'm sure your dear relative would love to have that if they're an Auburn fan. Talking about great assistant coach, it's in paperback, and also out there, Decades of Dominance and Season of Our Dreams in paperback and on Kindle. And I guess eventually we're going to do another book. We just have to have time. We got other things coming up. We got the big renovation project coming up over Christmas, and we'll see what this show is like in the new year, won't we, John? It may be a little bit different.
We will. I look forward to it.
Maybe a little bit different. Okay. All right. Well, Maddie's going to tell you how to contact us, so I guess we're going to get on out of here for another week. War Eagle, John.
War Eagle, man.
Thanks for listening to the Wishbone Podcast. All past episodes are available at auwishbone.podbean.com and via iTunes. For more Auburn fun, join us on Facebook at facebook.com/auwishbone and follow the show on Twitter at auwishbone. War Eagle.
This has been a White Rocket Entertainment production.
Thank you for listening to the AU Wishbone Podcast.
All righty. All right. Well, I will be talking to you again tomorrow about Star Wars.
Oh, yeah. Hang in there.
Hey there. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Go to bed.